tables and cabinets, 50% off. Beds, bed frames, and dressers, 50% off. Furniture chests, collectibles, and kitchen accessories. You guessed it. The explosive Everything Must Go 50% off sale. Martin's General Store, 304 North Main, Rocky Ford.
It's time for Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 1400 KBLJ, a show to educate you on the best seed selections and soil preparations for residential and commercial turf, range of grass, cover crops, and more. And now, Lauren Adams of Arkansas Valley Seeds alongside Pat McGee, Growing Together on AM 1400 KBLJ.
And here we go. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ and News Radio AM 920 KLMR. I'm completely lost today.
You don't look lost. You made it to work.
I did make it to work. I guess that's the important part. There you go. Having you here, Lauren Adams across the way. Good morning, Lauren.
Good morning.
Yes,
morning.
Indeed. Yeah. Hey, we're talking water today, and water is very, very important to the state of agriculture. Who'd you bring along?
It sure is. This is Jack Goble of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District. Say that 10 times fast.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful, but it's a mouthful because it's a very important organization, and it has a very specific job to do. And so, Jack, we've talked quite a bit ahead of the show, and I'm so grateful for the time that you spent with me to kind of educate me a little bit more as to what the Conservancy District does, what its function is, because it does seem a little bit confusing when you drive by and you see that very long title on the side of the building, and you're like, boy, that's not only a mouthful, but what on earth do they really do? Mm-hmm. And as I'm learning more and more from you, I'm seeing what a just an extremely vital role you play, not only in the water as far as our agriculture community is concerned, but our community drinking waters along that Arkansas River as it comes from Pueblo all the way down to the state line. So you're pretty new to this position. You've been with the Conservancy District for 8 years, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
8 years. And so recently the position came open as a general manager. You were put in there as an interim guy there, and you then applied for that position, and now you are the general manager for the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District, and you've got some work to do, and we're going to talk a little bit about that. So please introduce yourself. Give us a little bit about your background and how you got to where you are.
Sure. Thank you, Lauren. So, recently I was appointed by our board to take over the permanent general manager position, and I'm grateful for this opportunity. Just to give folks a little bit of background on me and then the district. So I was born and raised south of Hasty, Colorado, actually. Went to McClave High School and all the way through K through 12, and my kids are there now, actually. And my wife actually works at the school. My family goes back a long time. I'm sixth generation of Bent County, and proud that my family was tough enough or stubborn enough to stick around through all the hard times.
Combination of both, I think.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what my wife claims anyway.
Yeah.
So we're actually still in the same cattle ranch that my family homesteaded in 1910. So
wonderful.
Fortunate to be able to grow up in a rural community and moved away to college to CSU Fort Collins, got my degree in civil engineering. And did the civil engineering thing for about a decade down in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and in Denver. And just really wanted to, my wife and I had our two sons, and I wanted to raise them more in a rural environment.
You bet.
And had the opportunity to come back to the Valley. Was talking to our district board president, Lennon Gill, and he, in a conversation unrelated to the job, he said, well, it's too bad you're not a water engineer. And I said, well, actually, I am. And he said, well, we're looking to hire one at this Water Conservancy District. Would you be interested? And one thing led to another, and here we are over 8 years later and moved back to the Valley. And it just works out great because I can use my engineering background to help try and, keep water in the Valley for generations to come and something I have a passion for.
That's great. So, well, and I think any of us who have lived in the Arkansas Valley for any period of time have heard the story about Crowley County and how that ended up being, really a tragedy. for agriculture in our valley. And that is something that we use, like you said, that's the benchmark. That's the thing mm-hmm. we all go off of, and we do not want that to ever happen again.
And Jack, you used a term that I had never heard before. Mm-hmm. I mean, I understood it as soon as you said it, though,
right.
concerning that, buy and dry.
Yep. Buy and dry.
Which is exactly what happened up there. The water mm-hmm. was bought, everything dried up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so just to touch on the history of the district, that was mm-hmm. the main driver behind the district being formed. We were voted in 2002, and we serve five counties, so basically Pueblo all the way to the Kansas state line. So Pueblo, Crowley County, Otero, Bent, and Prowers County.
Right.
And at that time, there was an entity that came into the area that I grew up in and live in now, in the Fort Lyon Canal area, and was purchasing ground with the associated water rights with the intent to move that water off the land permanently. And they actually took that all the way to the Supreme Court and were unable to do that because they didn't have an in buyer at the time. So it was called speculation. And then, but there was a concern for this and for the buy and dry of happening even more so. And so different groups came together and got this on the ballot. And we were voted in 2-1 in 2002. And to serve 30 years, and we have an opportunity to be re-upped for our mill levy. We receive a mill mm-hmm. levy at that time, but we're about two decades in to the district, and everything we do is to try to make irrigated agriculture more successful to try to stave off buy and dry. Mm-hmm. And so we have a series of projects that try to do that.
I do remember that because I know early members of the group and early directors were frequent guests on This, That, and the Other here on AM 1400 KVLJ talking just about that. And I know a lot of them were really afraid that what was left of the water rights that would be down here, the farmers wouldn't be able to get them, because I don't remember who mentioned it, but it kind of struck a chord with me in that you have to have water to move water. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. You dry everything up. You don't have enough water to get it all the way down the canals.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's a big concern.
Yeah. So in talking about that, we talked a little bit ahead of the program. One of the things that we talk a lot about is soil quality and soil health, and a big part of that is securing the water that we get. Eric Tucker, who's kind of a co-host to this program from time to time, he told me, he says, it doesn't matter how much water you get, it really doesn't, it matters how much water you keep. And so by utilizing some of the five principles of soil health, you have the capacity to increase the water storage capacity of the soil on your land. And is that something that you folks advocate in any way through the Conservancy District?
Sure. Yeah, and so just recently in the last couple of years, we've gotten more involved in soil health, so we're learning more every day. But I see it as a critical tool to help agriculture in general,
sure.
but mm-hmm. but definitely irrigated agriculture. And we actually have we received a grant from the Colorado Water Conservation Board to study this more, and so mm-hmm. We have a series of farmers up and down the valley that are testing out different cover crops and different grazing techniques and so on and so forth to try to see how it works and evaluate the economics of it mm-hmm. and also to evaluate the effect of water quality. That's becoming a bigger concern to the mm-hmm. valley and to our downstream neighbor, Kansas. And so that's another thing we've gotten involved in a lot lately.
Yeah. It would seem to me, and this is just me being a novice, that if you increase the carbon sequestration in your soil and you increase that carbon content, that as that water percolates through the soil and it eventually gets to the downstream user, probably going to be a little bit better quality, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I would venture to guess so.
Yeah, I mean, it's just me spitballing.
So the whole idea with water quality concern in the valley is there's a couple different constituents, selenium, arsenic, uranium, that leach their way back to the river
sure.
as a result of water seeping out of irrigation canals or through ponds or through just irrigation.
Mm-hmm.
And it seeps down to this shale layer and picks up these constituents that we don't want
right.
and goes back to the river. So to your point with soil health, if you can capture the majority of that water in the soil profile and it doesn't go down to those shale layers, then I would venture to guess would definitely help water quality.
Right. Super cool. Well, I don't want to hang up too much on the soil quality aspect because I know that's just one small piece. Mm-hmm. Now, you had spoken a little bit off mic about how the Conservancy District is involved with facilitating maybe leasing some of the water for landowners. Can you tell us how that works?
Sure. So we at the district, you know, we have a challenge of trying to come up with alternatives to buy and dry. Mm-hmm. And farmers own land and they own water rights that go with that land. Mm-hmm. And that's a private property right. And so if they want to sell that land and or the water, that's their prerogative. And so, you know, we're not here to tell them they can't do that. What we're here to do is try to come up with alternatives to that, something sure. that's more attractive. Mm-hmm. You know, selling your land and water, that's a one-time payment. And in some cases, it's large. But what about if you could lease the water and maintain ownership, sure. continue to farm, fallow up to a 30% of that farm,
right.
and continue to farm it, and then that part of that farm that you fallow or mm-hmm. you dry up, temporarily, you take that water, move it upstream, and lease it to a municipality that that will pay you for it. And
now,
so
this is something that Phil Chavez of Diamond A Farm spoke about when he was on the program.
Right. The water yeah. leasing, so right. it is yep. not actually gone.
No,
it's kind of borrowed, if you will.
Exactly.
In yep. ways, yes.
Yeah, the ownership stays in the valley. Farming continues on the rest of the farm. You know, you're able to keep seed companies open. Fuel, you know, I mean, mm-hmm. all the our economy mm-hmm. is based around. And and that's the concern is, you know, we don't want those things to go away. And so over the years, and, you know, it was kind of a long haul, but the district formed what was called the Super Ditch Company. And to be honest, when I first heard of that, you know, you think, oh, it's a giant ditch. Well, it's mm-hmm. it's basically an idea to bring representatives from seven of the major ditch companies together to try to speak with one voice in water leasing.
Okay.
That way, you know, a municipality comes down here, wants to lease water from a ditch. Yeah. They're not, you know, creating a competition between the ditches. The ditches speak together to try to come up with the best price for the leased water. Right. And so, you know, we pushed and helped get legislation passed to allow for these pilot projects of leasing. Right now we have three projects that are approved and operating. And we're trying to prove it out as an alternative to buy and dry.
So how does this work if a municipality leases water from a landowner in the lower Arkansas Valley? That lease is for a certain number of years, I'm guessing. Well, they've created the demand for that water. And when that lease is up, that water is no longer available. Are they depending on another landowner, maybe leasing the water at that point? So there's kind of a cycle?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. So, you know, you can imagine a municipality can't build out a subdivision based off of temporary water.
Okay.
You know, and so in these instances where we're trying to prove out the concept, it's been more of a drought recovery tool for them to refill their, you know, their storage accounts in the reservoirs. But over the long term, we see it as being something like you've described where you're just basically constantly rotating the ground that is irrigated. So it would be fallowed for 2 to 3 years, and then it would be rotated to another piece of ground that would be sure. fallowed, and that farm would be re-irrigated, or that piece of the farm, right. to try to maintain that supply to the municipalities.
Okay. Well, and Phil talked about how when he goes into that lease, he will seed that field first and get that seed, get those crop, the plants established for a nice perennial cover crop that will be on that land that hopefully will be able to sustain itself through ambient precipitation
yep.
Throughout the farm of that lease. So you're not fallowing in the case that that soil is just barren and bare. It's so there's some responsibility, I think, of the landowner to make sure that the soil quality is maintained through that fallowing period. Is that something that you work with these people as you try to facilitate these agreements to do?
Absolutely, yeah. So okay. as part of the farmer's agreement, they're required to prevent erosion and to keep weeds down and whatnot.
Okay,
and
so it's required as part of that. That's not something that
exactly.
is just, okay.
Yep, it's
good.
Required. And they and then a lot of them take the, you know, are able to get an additional revenue source by planting winter wheat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're able to irrigate that up until the end of December. And then because the fallowing happens over a calendar year, so they're able to get that soil moisture in there, plant something, and grow that. And then whatever precipitation they get, they're able to harvest that and keep the soil from blowing and keep the weeds down and whatnot. So it seemed to work pretty well.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. So it fits all the way around. Well, it looks like we're about to the bottom of the hour here, Pat.
Yes, indeed. We have to pull our first break down with us here on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. Jack Goble, the general manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District. Thanks for joining us here today. We'll be back right around the corner. This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920 KLMR and AM 1400 KBLJ. We are brought to you, of course, by Arkansas Valley Seeds and Golden Plains Insurance.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
Fall is coming soon, and that means wheat planting. And more importantly, that means the September 30th wheat sales closing date. Now is the time to get together with your agent partner at Golden Plains Insurance and create your personal crop insurance strategy to meet your desired needs. Stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance in Lamar or call them at 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we are independent and homegrown just like you.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
Hey y'all, gather around, because it is share time. Pat McGee and Colorado Parks and Wildlife Steve Kiefer have been compared.
She posted the Muppets, you know, the old guys that were always...
That's Steve and I right there. That's us, yeah.
Statler and Waldorf.
Yes, it's us, Statler and Waldorf.
And I'm looking at the two of you, and I'm looking at this image of the two of them. And it is. It's just that you have more hair.
Fantastic!
Yeah, didn't like it.
Well, what would you know, you old fool?
Don't call me an old fool, I'll give you the evil eye.
Oh, I'm scared, I'm scared.
Wake me when the show starts.
And to get on TTO, you just email us. We'll put you on the calendar. A-N-N-E at 25-7media.com or Pat at 25-7media.com. Thanks for listening to the Arkansas Valley's favorite morning show, TTO, brought to you by the Arkansas Valley Hospice.
Back to it on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920 KLMR, AM 1400 KBLJ. Pat McGee with you, Lauren Adams with us. Of course, Jack Goble, General Manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District with us. It's your plate and plug time
for Arkansas
Valley Seeds, Lauren.
Yeah,
yes, indeed.
Well, so glad to have Jack Goble with us today. We're having a terrific conversation, and let's talk a little bit about Arkansas Valley Seeds.
Yes.
We're located there at 98 South 12th Street. And did you realize that summer's almost over and that our projected first frost date is Monday?
Really?
It's that close.
Monday,
that's
the 27th? Tomorrow's the first day of fall.
I believe I got that from the Old Farmer's Almanac.
And it's never wrong.
Yeah, well,
okay.
I think last September this time, my garden was already frozen.
Yeah, there you go.
There was snow on the ground.
Yes.
So,
yeah.
But, you know, it's just the average first frost date. But that's coming pretty close. So now is the right time to start thinking about your lawn.
Yes.
And let's get that lawn seeded for next spring.
Yep.
So come on by and talk to us. 98 South 12th Street. Josh and Tony are there and right now, and I'll be back there a little later today. Love to talk with you about your turf.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got some options for you as far as different types of grass, depending on what you're doing. And that's there, 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford, 719-254-7469. And also tomorrow morning,
yes,
I am going to be at the Coffee Break Project at 955 Swink Avenue in Rocky Ford. 955 Swink is the Coffee Break Project. And tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 10 a.m., donuts and coffee.
Really?
Yep.
All right. Very
and,
good.
You know, I'm not a thin man, and I enjoy me some donuts, and, you know, I like coffee. And, you know, I also really like Hannah Bates. She's a wonderful lady, and she's doing a terrific job there at the Coffee Break Project. So if you don't know what the Coffee Break Project is, it is a fantastic organization that's kind of been put together by the Southeast Health Group. And this is an organization that is designed to bring awareness and resources to folks who are contemplating or have had suicides in their family in the agriculture industry, because it's really has just become a phenomenal problem. And they're there to address that with resources for people to talk to and, you know, just to bring awareness out there about that.
All right.
Now, come and have coffee with me tomorrow morning. We don't have to talk about that in particular. We could talk some soil health. We could talk about anything. But I'm going to be there tomorrow morning between 6 and 10 having coffee with Hannah Bates at the Coffee Break Project. And that is going to be at 955 Swink Avenue. And
okay.
Speaking of Hannah Bates,
yes.
I think she's got a little bit of something to tell us about right now, doesn't she?
Yes, as a matter of fact, yes, we have this from Hannah and the Coffee Break Project.
Good morning, everyone. This is Hannah Bates at the Coffee Break Project. We have a lot of new changes happening. If you are going through Rocky Ford, you will see we are putting in all new window frames while we are awaiting the arrival of our new windows and doors, along with the ongoing remodeling happening on the inside and out. This week, we were lucky enough to meet two gentlemen, Chad Resnicek and Dylan Pike. Chad Resnicek is a behavioral health specialist with Colorado AgriBility Project. We introduced him to the Coffee Break Project and its contributing parties, as well as what our Comet program and training is and what we are trying to offer with it. Our hope is that with the Coffee Break Project, along with AgriBility, we will be able to grow into a great partnership, both becoming the bridge that will bind Southeast Health Group with the agricultural community of Southeastern Colorado. AgriBility is one of the most beneficial programs out there to local farmers and ranchers, but few truly understand what it is. AgriBility's goal is to keep farmers farming and ranchers ranching. They offer many programs and products to help everyday work on the homestead. Everything from all-terrain standing wheelchairs, which help you to navigate around the farm after an injury or a chronic illness, as well as a dig rig shovel attachment, which helps you to dig with less force. Dylan Pike is from Arc Valley Seed out of the Denver office. We talked with him as well about the Coffee Break Project and bringing awareness to all of Colorado. He is gracious enough to allow us to place material in his office for the Coffee Break Project, along with other materials from Southeast Health Group and programs we offer. This display will be located at 4300 Monaco Street in Denver, Colorado, along with the display we currently have at 12th Street in Rocky Ford at our local Arc Valley Seed distributor. Upcoming events. We are excited to announce that we will be hosting our first coffee break for the ranchers and farmers and wives, Monday, September 20th from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. and Wednesday, September 22nd from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. at 955 Swink Avenue on Highway 50 in Rocky Ford. We will also be launching our Comet training for all PCP providers who are interested. The first training will be scheduled on Monday, September 27th in the Coffee Break office at 955 Swink Avenue, Highway 50. This training will run from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. If you are interested as a PCP provider in joining, please call me at 719-363-1596 or you can email me at hbates@shgco.org. Again, that phone number is 719-363-1596 or you can email me at hbates@shgco.org. Thank you, and have a wonderful week.
All right. Thanks, Hannah. And I know we're going to have her back on the program again here before too long.
Oh, you know it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So Hannah Bates with the Coffee Break Project. Yeah. It is growing together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920, KLMR, AM 1400, and KBLJ. Pat McGee right here, Lauren Adams over there, and Jack Goebel, General Manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District with us.
Jack, again, thank you so much for all the valuable information that you're bringing out here. And for the listeners, it's a lot to absorb. So come back in about a week and you'll be able to see it on the website at avseeds.com. Mm-hmm. This will be up as a podcast, and you'll be able to go through this. And then hopefully if you've missed bits or pieces of this, you'll go back and listen to that again, because there is a lot of information here. Now, something that we talk about often here in the Arkansas Valley, it's come up with Pat in conversations quite a bit, this conduit. We hear a little bit about it. It's supposed to come up from the Pueblo Reservoir and service the communities downstream. And you're saying there might be some vitality being regenerated in that concept and what's might be coming about.
Yeah. So this project is a project for another water conservancy district. We'll definitely have some sort of involvement, but it's the Southeastern Colorado Water Conservancy District out of Pueblo. And they're similar to us, a taxing entity, and their service area goes all the way down to Lamar.
Right.
And they have a series of projects, but one of them that was actually approved in the early 60s, actually by JFK at the time, was this Arkansas Valley Conduit. And there was just issues with funding because the entities down here weren't able to generate enough funding to put a project like that in place. But the Southeastern District has worked hard over the last, you know, at least decade, really ramped up and tried to get it off the ground again. And they were able to secure some state funding and some federal funding. And they were able to work out a deal with Pueblo Board of Waterworks to use a lot of their existing infrastructure to get all the way from Pueblo Reservoir through Pueblo out to close to the airport.
Okay.
And so they're going to latch onto their pipelines there. And this pipeline will be constructed all the way down through the valley, all the way to Lamar. And then there'll be a spur that goes up to Eads, Colorado. And it'll bring clean drinking water to the valley. Okay. And it'll tie into all the little water companies through the valley. And it'll be a really good thing, because that's a big issue, water quality.
Yep. Right, and that's what this is all about. This isn't for irrigation water. This is for drinking water. Right. Yes.
Yeah, thanks for clarifying that.
So I know I used to work for the Rocky Ford Water water company there, and we talked about that conduit then, and that was, gosh, 10, 15 years ago now.
Yep.
And we talked about it like, well, is that going to put us out of work, or what's going to happen there? But the idea is that now you have the water coming from one central source, and it's already has a certain level of quality, so very little, if any, treatment of that water is going to be required to get that out to the end user in your home.
Right. Yeah. And it'll be tying into, like I said, some of the bigger water providers like Lahana and Lamar and Los Animas, but then also a lot of these smaller water companies. I think Otero County has quite a few of little smaller ones, and it'll be a supplemental supply. So they'll likely still have their wells in operation and whatnot, and it'll just add clean water to them.
Sure. And is there, sounds to me like there's going to be a significant cost savings to these individual communities as that comes down like from a larger.
Right. Yeah. Too, I mean, the concern with water quality is not only drinking the waters that have the radionuclides and other issues in them in the valley, but also those entities are required to filter that water to a certain level. And then those filters become almost radioactive material that is really expensive to get rid of. So just in that alone, there'll be a huge cost savings.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So and hopefully that'll get passed down to, the water bill that you get.
Yep.
Yeah, let's hope that that's the case. So with this conduit, is that stupid new guy question, is it going to be something that's above ground, or is it going to be underground, or
sure, yeah,
a combination?
It'll be underground, and the pipeline, I think, up at Pueblo, I probably shouldn't even say, but I think it'll be maybe 18 inches diameter, something like that. And then as it comes down the valley, you know, it gets smaller and smaller.
Sure, because it'll be used up as it goes down.
So yep, it'll be buried underlying, buried water pipeline.
Right, great. Well, what are they estimating the cost of that that project?
I'll give you a ballpark, because
that's
I don't
all
know
I'm
the
asking for, exact.
Yeah. It's expensive. I mean, it's in the $600 million range.
Okay.
And so it's a lot of money, but, you know, what's you know, more important than clean drinking water. So, yeah. And for the future of our valley, you know, it's mm-hmm. critical.
Sure. Well, we need farmers, we need agriculture people, and we need them drinking good water.
Exactly.
Now, so $600 million, boy, that's quite a... now, how long will that pipeline be viable before it needs to be replaced then?
I guess I don't know specifically, but a lot of those... I just kind of threw that at you, I know. Yeah, I mean, just in my former design experience, I know whenever you design a pipeline like that, you're looking at a 100-year lifespan that you're designing to, but it could easily last, you know, twice that.
Good. So well, and I know in the areas of northern Arizona, they still use water lines that were made out of wood wrapped in wire.
Absolutely.
And so, and that was back from the early 1800s, I guess, when those were, you know, copper mines. And stuff So really interesting.
Yeah.
So there is that. So you just want to know that there's going to be somewhat of a return on the investment so that, you know, you're not going to be replacing that again to swear it's cost ineffective to even get involved with it. So it sounds like there's been a lot of forethought that's gone into this. It's been studied and restudied many times since it's kind of been conceived. And it sounds to me like if there's any time to be ready to do it, we're there. Does that sound right?
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, just to give folks an idea, I think in the next couple of years, you'll see the construction start in the Pueblo Airport area. And their first stretch is to get out to Boone. And then, but it may be, you know, a decade. I'm just guessing that it would be completed. Who knows with these projects, always take longer than you think.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, just to give you an idea, it's not going to be in your backyard tomorrow.
They've been plugging at this since 1962, so it's been
When we were talking about this, you were like, boom, 1962. Yep. You knew off the top of your head, Pat.
Been there, done that, talked about it a lot. That's right.
Yep.
This is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920, KLMR, AM 1400, and KBLJ. Our guest today, Jack Goble, General Manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District. We'll be back. Don't go away. We are coming right back. Growing Together is brought to you by, of course, Golden Plains Insurance and Arkansas Valley Seeds. Hey, good morning. You're on Twisting Wrenches. What can we do for you?
If you've been listening to Twisting Wrenches Mondays just after 11 o'clock, you know Mark Sarlo and Pat McGee been a little charged up.
The cold makes it difficult for the engine to rotate.
That's right.
But it's usually the summer heat,
that kills your battery. Or if you have ran your battery dead.
Anytime you take a lead acid battery and you take it past 50% state of discharge, you're done.
You can even call into the show at 384-5456.
Hey, guys, how are you doing today?
Doing well. What's up? Disconnect those fittings. Don't ask me how I know.
Oh, yeah.
Twisting Wrenches is local with hometown knowledge of cars and stuff.
You'd be cooking lunch on those, engines. There you go.
Oh, that was great.
Mondays just after 11 o'clock on News Talk AM 1400 KBLJ.
But I learned the hard way that $25 worth of tools would have saved me a lot of money.
Brought to you by Valley Auto Parts, your local Napa dealer in La Junta.
Now, Arkansas Valley weather on KBLJ.
This is meteorologist Dennis Hull with your Tuesday ag weather impacts. Well, high pressure will bring dry weather across southeast Colorado. Look for temperatures to be 5 to 10 degrees below normal for today, but then warm to slightly above normal for tomorrow, and then 8 to 12 degrees warmer than normal for Thursday. A generally dry cold front moves into the area Friday for a brief reprieve, but then it's back to a very warm weekend and early to middle part of next week. This will provide good conditions for corn and milo harvest, but the dry conditions will likely continue to hamper winter wheat seeding and germination. Our driest areas continue in Crowley County, extending into eastern Otero and western Bent counties. The next chance for rain will hold off through at least the first few days of October. 2-inch soil temperatures from the Colorado Mesonet are averaging mainly in the upper 60s and lower 70s. After slight cooling into early Wednesday, soils should again return to the 65 to 70 degree range. Chemical applicators can plan for winds to be lighter on Wednesday as the center of the high pressure moves over the area. Hay balers can expect rapid drying rates for late September and only light to moderate dew in the irrigated fields during the morning. The nights are around 12 hours during this week of the fall equinox, which starts tomorrow at 1:20 p.m. This is meteorologist Dennis Hull, and that's your Ag Weather Impacts.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds. 719-254-7469.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
As you begin to prepare farming operations for the wheat season, they can't help but think about all there is that a wheat crop can endure in its 10-month growing period, ranging from having a big enough stem to winter kill to drought, freeze, rust, bugs, worms, fire, and of course, hail. September 30th is right around the corner. Be sure to stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance or call 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we are independent and homegrown just like you.
Back in and growing together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920 KLMR, AM 1400 KBLJ. Jack Goble, General Manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District, our guest. Jack, I'm just going to turn you loose because you had a number of other things you wanted to cover here before we wrapped up today. So take it away. Yes, sir.
Now, this Rule 10 thing, we were talking a little bit about it, and me being not growing up in agriculture, it looks ridiculous to me.
Right.
And so I have no idea what the logic behind it is, and I hope you can clean it up in 5 minutes.
Okay, yeah, that's my challenge.
Yeah,
condense an hour down into 5 minutes.
Right,
pretty much. Yes.
Okay, ready, set, go.
Yeah.
So let's see. So the state of Colorado instituted these irrigation improvement rules. That's what they're called in 2011, and they were because of a concern raised by Kansas, our downstream neighbor. They have a history of suing us over the Arkansas River water. And they were concerned that all these center pivot sprinklers were going in and that there was an opportunity for these crops to be consuming more of the water that was applied and less making it back to the river as return flows. And so Colorado, 20 years ago, had to pay Kansas $35 million because of our well pumping where we didn't replace that water to the river. And so they were concerned about that, so they instituted these rules. And fast forward to today, they're called Rule 10 Plan. And basically what it is a group plan that our district manages. And whenever a farmer puts a sprinkler in, and there's other improvements too, like lining a ditch or whatnot, drip systems. But when they do that and they use surface water to irrigate through those, they come and sign up to our plan. And we have like about 320 sprinklers signed up that cover about 34,000 acres in the valley, and basically we just manage the plan so they don't have to worry about it. They come to us once a year, and if there's any changes, they'll come to us and say, you know, here's the size of my sprinkler, so on and so forth. And we work with the state engineer's office out of Denver to do the modeling to make replacements every month to the river to keep the river whole for downstream water users. And and so that's more or less what it is. The rules are unique to the Arkansas River Basin. They're not in any of the other river basins in Colorado, and it's mainly because of our compact or our agreement with Kansas. So,
So if you have you put in a new pivot sprinkler system, you have to put in a pond, basically to retain a certain amount of that surface water, so that you can send the correct amount downstream. How does that work?
It's confusing
to me.
It really is. So there's no requirement to have a pond, but a lot of farmers like having the pond because it kind of acts as a head stabilization. It's like a shock absorber, and so it just is a little reservoir full of water that their pump that's pumping to the sprinkler can pump out of in case there's, you know, a rise or fall in the water. It's consistent water form. Farmers get a credit for anything that seeps out of that pond and returns back to the river, you know, over time. They get a credit for that water against what they owe to the river, if that makes sense. but okay, they're not required to have the pond. A lot of them just have it because it helps them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it seems counterintuitive on the face of it. But when you look at, okay, we've got to make sure Kansas is taken care of. And that's really all that's about. A lot of money being spent. A lot of time and effort being spent to make sure Kansas is getting what they have coming.
Right.
Yeah. So, Jack, we got just a little bit of time left for our last break, and then we'll do some contact information and stuff there. But I just wanted to say thank you so very much for being so forthcoming with all this information. When we come back, I want you to talk just a little bit briefly about, you've got some very unique opportunities now in the position that you're in to maybe focus the direction of the Conservancy District and where that's going to go ahead of time, because you have some vacancies that you get to fill. And so you can make sure that you're kind of moving in a unilateral direction. So I'd like you to talk a little bit about that when we come back from our break.
We'll hear about that next. It is Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds on AM 920 KLMR, AM 1400 KBLJ. Brought to you by Arkansas Valley Seeds and Golden Plains Insurance. We'll be right back to wrap things up.
Hi, this is Lauren Adams. Now summer is here, and Tony and I at Arkansas Valley Seeds are here to help. Are you looking for fast forage? We have honey sweet sorghum and several varieties of millet. Or let's talk about a custom cover crop to build your soil for the upcoming cash crop. Every build is unique, and we have the knowledge and experience to help you get the most from your land. Drop by 98 South 12th Street in Rocky Ford. Whether it's ranch, farm, or turf, it's Arkansas Valley Seeds, 719-254-7469.
From Golden Plains Insurance, covering all of southeastern Colorado.
As you begin to prepare farming operations for the wheat season, they can't help but think about all there is that a wheat crop can endure in its 10-month growing period, ranging from having a big enough stem, to winter kill, to drought, freeze, rust, bugs, worms, fire, and of course hail. September 30th is right around the corner. Be sure to stop in and see Golden Plains Insurance or call 719-336-8292. At Golden Plains Insurance,
we are independent and homegrown just like you.
Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds is a program here on KLMR and KVLJ. Jack Goble from the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District, our guest. You've got a few employment opportunities or that type of thing coming up with the district. Do tell us about that quickly.
Sure. So, I'm happy to mention that we just filled a position we had for our water resources specialist to head up our water quality and soil health work. Mm-hmm. And the gentleman's name is Brad Lubers, and I'm happy to get him hired. He's got a background in water quality and also farming. He and his father farmed some ground under the Fort Lyon Canal, and so very happy to have him come aboard. He just now started with us, so drinking through a fire hose, but looking forward to all of his contributions. Mm-hmm. And then also taking the general manager seat, open a vacancy in my seat as a district engineer, and so we have that job open right now and looking to fill it. So if there's any candidates out there that are interested, give our office a call or go to our website, and we have the job posting listed. Basic requirements are you have some sort of technical background, typically engineering background, and a passion for keeping water in the valley. So.
Very good. So it sounds like you're in a position to get some key positions filled, and you can maybe be a little selective and get people in those positions so that you can kind of ensure that you're heading in a unilateral direction with the Conservancy District so that you can more effectively serve the Arkansas Valley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so we have a great staff and a great board, and everybody's rowing in the same direction. And, kind of how I see the district moving is continuing to do, all the commitments and projects that we have existing. Running everything through the filter of our mission, and that's to keep water in the valley.
Amen.
And to help irrigated agriculture be successful. Amen. And because farmers have a lot of pressures on them and a lot of factors and variables that they don't have control over, and so where we can help, and we're not a answer to everything, but where we can help, we definitely want to try to keep the water in the valley. And so I look forward to that, and I'm excited for the challenge.
All right. Jack Goble, General Manager of the Lower Arkansas Valley Water Conservancy District. Next week, our neighbor's coming on.
That's right, yes, Mike Bartolo.
Mike Bartolo from the CSU Cooperative Extension Experiment Station right down the road. He'll be with us on Growing Together with Arkansas Valley Seeds. That'll wrap things up for today, folks. The News at Noon's coming up next on KLMR and KBLJ.
The Arkansas Valley source for news, weather, sports, and information. News Talk 1400, KBLJ, La Junta.